Welcome back to the Jewish Futurism Lab, where we unpack Torah, tech, and tomorrow. I'm Mike Wirth, Jewish futurist, community artist, and design educator, coming to you from Crown Town, Charlotte, North Carolina. In the previous episode, I talked about flow, that feeling when creativity clicks and time loosens. Today, I want to talk about the other half of that equation. What happens when flow has no boundaries? This is the episode where Jewish futurism rages against the machine. Let's get into it, y'all. Flow without limits doesn't stay sacred for long. It turns into exhaustion, addiction, or production without any kind of reflection. I've learned this through my own work. As a designer, an artist, and educator, I live inside systems that reward constant output. More ideas, more content, more responsiveness, faster turnaround. And at first, that feels exhilarating. You feel productive, relevant, alive. But over time, something subtle starts to shift. The work stops feeding you, and you start feeding the machine. You'll still be making, but you're no longer making decisions. Your attention starts to fracture. Your sense of purpose thins out. Creativity becomes momentum instead of meaning. That's where Shabbat enters the conversation for me. Not just as a weekly religious practice, but as a design principle. Shabbat is a refusal that is built into time. A weekly boundary that says there is a point where creativity stops serving you if you don't stop it. Shabbat doesn't exist because work is bad. It exists because work is powerful. Powerful systems need limits, or they can consume the people inside them. In episode 3, I talked about flow as the space where creativity and spirituality overlap. What I didn't say then, but want to say clearly now, is that flow needs a container. Flow without a container becomes endless scrolling, endless tweaking, endless optimization. Flow with a container becomes meaning. Shabbat is that container. It doesn't just tell you when to stop during the week. It tells you why stopping matters. I see this constantly in my classroom. When students are given unlimited time, unlimited tools, unlimited prompts, they don't get any more creative. They start to get anxious. They spiral. But when I introduce constraints, a limited palette, a fixed duration of time, a clear intention, something really starts to click for them. Their focus sharpens. Decisions matter. Students enter flow more easily and not less. That's not accidental. Boundaries create attention, and attention is where both creativity and spirituality live. As I started to think more deeply about this, I realized I was looking for a Jewish ethical framework that could actively live inside creative practice, not just sit above it as a set of rules. That search led me to Mussar. I wasn't looking for something abstract. I was looking for something very practical, reflective, and iterative. What I found in Mussar was a language for character development that aligned almost perfectly with the ethical questions I was already asking as a designer and an educator. When we talk about user-centered design, inclusivity, accessibility, adaptive systems, and multimodal learning, we're really talking about ethics in action. We're talking about who gets considered, who gets left out, who is a system built for, and who has to struggle just to fit with inside that system. Mussar gave me a way to think about these questions not just as professional standards, but as character work, Jewish character work. It asks, who am I becoming as I design? Not just, what am I producing? Inclusive design isn't just a technical challenge, it's an ethical posture. Accessibility isn't an add-on, it's a commitment to human dignity. Multimodal approaches aren't just good teaching, they're actually acknowledgments that people learn, process, and engage differently, and that difference is not a problem to be solved, but a reality to be honored. Musar reinforced for me that ethical design is not about getting it right once. It's about returning again and again to intention, noticing drift, and correcting course. That way of thinking also reshaped how I understand systems. Systems thinking teaches us to look for feedback loops and unintended consequences. Jewish tradition has always done this. Shabbat is a systematic interruption. Sabbatical cycles reset extraction. Prayer cycles reorient attention. These aren't arbitrary rituals, they're ethical safeguards. They prevent momentum from becoming domination. Musar helps name why those safeguards matter and not just how they work. There's a Jewish story about the golem that I think about often when I'm teaching design or working with technology. The golem is pretty famous, and you know it isn't dangerous because it's so powerful. It's dangerous because it keeps going in an unstoppable way. The most Jewish part of that story is the act, not of creation, but it was the creation of the erase key. Written on the golem's head is three Hebrew letters that spell emet, and that means truth. And one intentional interruption, one letter removed, the aleph, spells met. And that's the Jewish kill switch. Any system we build must include a way to stop it. This feels particularly urgent right now today. We live in a culture that equates speed with progress and output with value. Many creative and technological systems are designed to maximize engagement and not our own well-being. Jewish futurism pushes back against that logic. We're not here to see how fast we can move. We're here to ask, can we still recognize ourselves while we're moving that fast? I've seen how powerful this shift can be in my community artwork. When I lead workshops that include intentional pauses, reflection, and ritual framing, people start to show up a little different. They listen a little more closely. They take creative risks without feeling rushed. They engage with memory and meaning instead of just making things and producing artifacts. Creativity becomes relational rather than extractive. That's not by accident. It's what happens when spirituality and ethics are designed into the experience. This is the spiritual space I want to name in this episode. The space where creativity isn't just expressive, but accountable. Where spirituality is embodied. Where systems exist not to extract more, but to help us stay human while we make things that actually matter and mean things. Shabbat, Musar, and ethical design all point towards that same truth. Limits are not the enemy of creativity. They help us keep creativity sustainable. So the takeaway from this episode isn't just rest more, even though that's not a bad place to start. We could all use a nap. It's this. Seek or design systems that help you set boundaries on purpose. Systems that protect your attention. Systems that align your creativity with your values. Systems that remind you why you're making in the first place. Whether that's Shabbat, a studio rule, a classroom structure, or a personal ritual, the question is the same. Where is your pause? Where is your erase key? Where do you step back before momentum takes over? That's how to master flow. In the last episode, I invited you to notice when you enter the flow state. So, what did you notice? Did you catch yourself in that zone where time disappeared? Or maybe you realize flow hasn't been harder to find lately? Either way, that noticing matters. Here's what I want you to remember. There's no failure in this work. If you don't enter the flow this week, that's information. If you entered it and couldn't leave, that's also some information. Spiritual practice isn't about perfection. It's just about paying attention. This time, I want to invite you to notice what helps you leave flow. What brings you back to yourself? What keeps your creativity from becoming another machine that you're going to serve? That's not a lack of discipline, that's spiritual wisdom tapping you on the shoulder. Next time, we'll turn toward technology and AI and talk about how Jewish futurism insists on human presence, responsibility, and restraint inside powerful systems. We'll be joined by Jewish artist Alex Waz to unpack all of that. As always, folks, the writing and visuals live at mikeworthart.com. Until next time.